The lovely young girl finally stopped laughing at the man long enough to reply to his question. Marry you? She echoed his words with a sting of mockery. Do you really think that I would come live with you in some wigwam in the woods? I'm no squaw. The stoic features of the Algonquin chieftain sank into a mask of sorrow. He had been attracted to the beautiful French girl from the very first time that he had ventured into Kaskaskia, the first capital of Illinois. Now, his offer of marriage had been spurned. I will offer your father many ponies, in addition to the furs that I have brought today, the Algonquin said hopefully, ignorant of the ways of the white man's frontier, which allowed a girl to choose her own husband. Perhaps in the old country, the girl's father might have been tempted by such an offer to buy his daughter. But here, in the new world, a father no longer arranged his daughter's marriage. Take your smelly old furs away and stop bothering me. At her shout, the girl's husky brother and a number of villagers began to move menacingly toward the rejected Indian suitor. The fledgling government had ordered that they attempt to live in peace with Indians, but surely no government official of that era would condone an Algonquin trying to molest a white woman. The chieftain, infuriated by the rejection of his proposal, leaped onto his pony and glared at the villagers. He knew that there was not enough time to reclaim his furs, but he would have plenty of time to pronounce a malediction to the village of Kaskaskia. With an angry shout, he cursed. May the filthy spot on which your church stands be destroyed. May your homes and farms be ruined. May your dead be torn from their graves. And may your land be a feeding place for fishes. A rock struck the Algonquin on the forehead, and he swayed dizzily on his mount. He touched his fingers gingerly to the wound and frowned at the blood on his hand. He leaned forward on his pony and spat on the ground. Then he raced out of the village. Because the Algonquin pronounced his curse in 1819, it is unlikely that he lived to see it fulfilled. But in 1881, the flooding Mississippi River acted as the agent that carried out the Indian's curse item for item. The violence of the waters completely destroyed the Church of the Immaculate Conception. The flood drowned the crops of the French settlers and scooped out the dead from their graves. Nearly all of the houses of the village were carried away by the rampaging waters. As the ultimate fulfillment of the curse, the turbulent waters created a new channel, placing the original village of Kaskaskia in the middle of the stream, a true feeding place for fishes.